your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, hockey fans. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all the latest, greatest news all about the NHL right here to your favorite podcast app of choice. My name is Sarah Avampato. I'm the host of your show. You can also hear me on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, lamenting the fact that my team is not in the playoffs for like the millionth year in a row. Okay, it's like a couple. Sorry, Buffalo. I don't mean to steal your thunder, but you know, that's it is what it is. But here, we're talking about the players. We're talking about teams that are competing for the Stanley Cup, or in one case, that had an early exit from the playoffs, and we're going to get right into that today. First up, we've got Adam Denker of Locked On Tampa Bay Lightning here to tell us all about how it feels to be the returning champ who is poised to make a run to the Stanley Cup final again. So, you know, he's pretty happy. On the other side of the coin, we've got Chris Maselli of Locked On Avalanche, who is not so happy after his team made an early exit from the playoffs. We're going to take a look at what went wrong for the Colorado Avalanche and what might have to change in the future. And then we close today's show with a team that has already made some big changes, and that is the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have parted ways with John Tortorella, who has not been welcomed back for future seasons, and they have a brand new coach. So Jay Forster of Locked On Blue Jackets is here to tell us all about their new Brad, I guess. We're going to get into all of that today. First up, Adam Denker and Locked On Lightning, all about what it feels like to be successful. Well, is anyone surprised that the Tampa Bay Lightning have made it this far to the Final Four? Well, some people are. Some people do not have them on their brackets, but the Lightning are basically here to say we are ready to win this thing again. So taking a look at the Tampa Bay Lightning today, we've got Adam Denker, host of Locked On Lightning, here to explain how the Lightning got here. And I guess I'll start with the controversial question. I'll put you on the spot right away. Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos both jump back into playing. Kucherov, who did not play in the regular season and is already just looking fantastic, tearing it up in the postseason. What would you say to the accusations of people that say that the Lightning are, you know, manipulating the situation or not playing fair by being able to insert Kucherov into the lineup? There's a handful of people, I think, who are having some feelings about this. And what would you say to that?
Any accusations of them, maybe some malpractice in play, or it's just absolutely outlandish. Kucherov was obviously coming back from a major hip surgery right after last year's cup run, and he needed all the year to get ready. And why would the Lightning rush him back when, if you looked at their Central Division opponents, really, I mean, it was a shoo-in for this team to make the playoffs. What really came down to was what place in the division they would finish. And, you know, so you don't need Kucherov when you have a team of guys like the Tampa Bay Lightning do, in which they are deep and they have a lot of depth. And I think that's what it really comes down to, is that, you know, the people, they like to hate on the defending champs, and they, you know, they see how talented this Lightning team is, plus with one of the best goaltenders in the world. It's very easy for them to target them. But you know what? Now that they have those two guys back, like you said, they're rolling on all cylinders.
The thing that always kind of strikes me is that the Lightning were so good anyway without them. Yeah. That, you know, I feel like you could still take Kucherov and Stamkos out of this equation and they would still be winning all of these games. And the rule is what it is. And if the league doesn't like that, they can change it. But yeah, right now, yeah, you know, the Lightning are playing in the rules, and tough, I think, is the response to a lot of people who might be having some feelings about that. They're just rolling. They have looked great. They have looked like a team that is just going to slide right back into the Stanley Cup final when we get a little bit of a rematch of last year here with the New York Islanders. And so what is your outlook for this series as we get ready to start? We're talking, of course, before the game starts. So a little bit of a preview, even though by the time you listen to this, games will already be played. But what is your preview, I guess, of this series with the Islanders?
Well, I let it be known, maybe some of the people that don't know, I do live up in the New York area. So, you know, I am in the middle of it in terms of enemy territory here. And really, I've been trying to stress this to people when they've asked me how long I think the series is going to go. And I say this with no ounce of cockiness, but I think it's going to be a very short series. I think Lightning in five, if the Lightning win the first two at home at Amalie, and then they steal one at the Coliseum, I think by Saturday night when game four starts, I think it's going to be pretty much done and settled by then. You know, some people might think this might go six. When I had my crossover with the Locked On Islanders host, Gil Martin, he said, I believe that the Lightning would win in six. So you're hearing a bunch of other things. If you asked any Islander fans here, they would probably say Islanders in seven, but or Islanders in four, maybe. But, you know, everyone's having their own predictions. But, yeah, I think that the Lightning are just too good right now. I just think with the way especially Vasilevskiy's playing, and that's really what the series is going to come down to, and I think ultimately every NHL playoff series comes down to is goaltending. The Lightning obviously have Andrei Vasilevskiy, who picked up his third career playoff shutout the other night in the series clinching win against the Hurricanes. Of course, his first was in that decisive last Stanley Cup final game against Dallas, in which they clinched things. And then you have on the other side of things, Semyon Varlamov, and then you also have Ilya Sorokin, who kind of Barry Trotz goes to kind of the hot guy, whoever's playing well. And so, you know, that could be an issue that, you know, this Islander team could run into. And that's what the Lightning have dealt with in their previous two opponents with Florida and the Hurricanes, you know, the revolving door of goaltenders. And they really feed off that, and they don't allow the opposing goaltenders to get settled in early on.
The Lightning, of course, as we've talked about, have players like Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, who is up again for the Norris. They have a lot of big-name players who I think even casual fans who have seen a couple Lightning games know, like, oh, got to watch out for that guy. Who on this lineup can do some damage, who maybe flies a little bit under the radar?
Blake Coleman, 100%. He was a trade deadline acquisition last year, and didn't really get off to a hot start last year, obviously, because right after he got traded, a bunch of things happened where he wasn't able to get into a groove of things. Literally the day after he was traded to the Lightning, his wife went into labor, so he had like a week of paternity leave. And then the COVID pandemic stopped everything after that. So really, Blake Coleman, a lot of people didn't really get to see how Blake Coleman was going to mesh well with this Lightning team up until the playoffs. And lo and behold, he was one of the top players on this team. And then since then, he's just really continued to produce. And Blake Coleman's one of those guys that he could do anything you ask of him. He could play physical. He could skate well. He could pass. And when you need him to score, he'll score if given the opportunity. And, you know, right now through the playoffs in 11 games, he has 4 points and alongside a goal. So that's really something to look out for is Blake Coleman really starting to maybe pick things up a little bit farther and take his play to the next level, especially in this series.
Well, we will close with asking a question that I think our good friend Gil Martin and the Islanders fans would be interested in knowing, which is if there is any way for the Islanders to win this series, if there's anything, there's a weakness in the Lightning's game or on the team, you know, what is something that you would hope the Lightning fix or pay a little more attention to before this series starts? Or is it just they're going to roll right on through?
Well, the key to beating the Lightning really is straightforward. We've all heard that stereotypical sports, especially with hockey, phrase, win the period, you know, win this period. Well, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, all you have to do is win the first 5 minutes of the first period. And that will really dictate the rest of the game for you. The Lightning are one of those teams that thrive off momentum and consistency. And that's something that they haven't really done well in the first five games. They're not good first 5 minutes of games. They're not really good starters. So those first 5 minutes of games are really important for this Lightning team. And if the Islanders could jump on that team as well as, you know, not allow Vasilevskiy to settle in and get good shots off, I think the Islanders could definitely not only have a chance of you know, staying in the series, but also have a chance of possibly beating the Lightning.
Well, we will certainly keep an eye on what is happening there. I think a lot of people are interested to see this rematch of last year's series as we head closer and closer to the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Tampa Bay Lightning hoping to repeat as champions this year. Thank you for chatting on the show today. For people who want to learn more about the Lightning, who are ready to jump on this bandwagon finally, where can they find you and your show online?
Well, if they haven't jumped on the bandwagon already, my question is, what are you doing? So they could go ahead and give us a follow on the Twitter page at @LO_Lightning. They give us a follow on Instagram at @LockedOn_Lightning. Give me a follow on Twitter at Danky Dank. That's DenkyD8NK. And yeah, looking forward to seeing how this series ends. And hopefully the Lightning will be playing for their second straight championship.
There is more hockey news coming up right after this. Right now, though, I want to tell you all about Credit Karma, because if you are like me, you're not good at waiting for things. You would probably prefer to have instant gratification. You would like to have whatever it is that you want right at that moment. Well, if you are looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait, because with Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. All you got to do is pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on your spot and you will get your money back right away. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. You can open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, free withdrawals from ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. So right now, go visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Again, go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See the rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. So anyone who listens to my show regularly over at Locked On Kings, or I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on the Wednesday edition of this show too, Locked On NHL, you'll know that I went 0-4 in my bracket with this past round. And I think none surprised me that I was wrong about more so than the Avalanche losing to the Vegas Golden Knights, especially after how strong that series started out. So to try to deconstruct what happened, and hopefully I won't make him too sad by talking about what happened in the series, I've got Chris Maselli, host of Locked On Avalanche, and of course, you can hear him here on Locked On NHL as well, here to talk about what went down. First off, we barely avoided a showdown between you and your co-host here on Locked On NHL, Adam Danker with the Lightning. We were very close to maybe that have been a thing, but...
He held up his end of the bargain.
Someone did it, but
we couldn't hold up our end. So I don't know. It's still something we're struggling with in Avalanche world right now.
Yeah. So I mean, what happened? I know that's like too simplistic of a question, and there is no easy answer, but. You know, the teams got out to that hot start. Of course, the first game was just pure chaos, but things sort of unraveled pretty quickly after that, it feels like, for the Avalanche. So what is your take on why their season is done, how they ended up here?
Yeah, it's a simple question, and it's a really complicated answer. There's so many things that you can point to, and it's not one singular thing that they did wrong. It's a collection of everything. Add into the mix a really good team with Vegas, and your mistakes, they are going to capitalize on. And, you know, that's what happened over and over and over again. And, yeah, the Avs got off to the best start you could hope for. Not only in the series against St. Louis, you know, sweeping them, and not only in game one and game two against Vegas, but almost in every game. They scored the first goal, I think, in all but one game. And I could be mistaken on that, but they, you know, played with leads in this series and they battled. There was two games in the middle after the first two games that they won The second game, they kind of stole. They didn't play the best, mm-hmm. but they still won. And you were kind of thinking, if you're a Vegas fan, how do we beat these guys? Like, we played a very good game in game two and still lost. And by the end of it, the ads were asking that question. That, you know, we played relatively well in the last two games and couldn't come away with wins. The two games in the middle, they played terrible. Vegas really kind of figured out a really good scheme and a game plan. And then the Avs adapted and played much better in games five and six, but still couldn't come away with wins. And game five is the one that Avs fans are going to really, that's really going to keep them up at night. Three goals by Vegas on three silly turnovers by the Avs, including the overtime goal. And that was in Denver. All they had to do was win that. And, you know, you keep the home ice advantage and then see what happens on the road in game six in Vegas. And even if you lose, you're back home in Denver for game seven. So if you hold serve, everything's good, but they couldn't do it. That overtime game five is going to haunt Avalanche fans, much like that questionable offsides that happened a couple years ago against the San Jose Sharks. That still haunt it. That game is in the realm of that Sharks offsides games, no doubt.
Last year with the Avalanche had the early exit from the playoffs as well. And I think a lot of people pointed to goaltending for that one. You know, your starting goaltender goes down and you're just kind of trying to cobble together whatever you can to get through a series. And this year it was, you know, you had a healthy lineup. You had pretty much everyone you could have hoped for playing, and things just didn't go your way. And so I'm sure the question is already being raised of, you know, what does this mean for the future? Because everyone looks at the Avalanche and says, this is a team that is built to win now. Mm. And to kind of keep having these, you know, so close but so far kind of moments. Do you think that the front office stays the course, or do you think that it is time that they start moving pieces around to see what needs to change on this team to get them over that kind of last hurdle?
I think it could be a little bit of both, honestly. And when something like this happens, when you have an exit, you know, earlier than what you expected, everybody, you know, in at least in, you know, the Twitter sphere wants to blow everything up and fire everybody. And, you know, what the heck is going on here? And the Avs and Joe Sakic aren't really built that way. But they did say multiple times throughout the year that this team is probably their best shot. Not to say that, you know, the future years they won't compete. They will. They have a lot of prospects. But now it could be really, really interesting, because what veterans are you going to give up or are going to sign elsewhere? Are you going to let go? And the people taking the places of those players are going to be kind of unproven prospects. You have all the hope in the world that they're going to do well, and all signs point to that. But are they going to need a year to really gel with the team? You know, you don't have to worry about like your top line or anything like that, but you have guys like Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook and Sampo Ranta and guys like that that are going to be, you know, a part of this team going forward, but they haven't played a ton. So those are the guys that are going to be kind of replacing possibly the guys that are not going to be there anymore. And then you have to make decisions on guys like Nazem Kadri. He was the one guy that was not available in the Vegas series that would have been perfect for that series. I don't know if it would have changed the outcome, but they didn't have him because of the suspension. And is that are the Avalanche going to give up Nazem Kadri, in which they'd have to do in a trade, for the same reason Toronto traded him to Colorado, because of postseason hits that keep him sidelined? They needed him, and you know, he did what he did and he wasn't there. So stuff like that will be interesting. They have a ton of unrestricted and restricted free agents, the big names being Gabe Landeskog, Cale Makar, and Philip Grubauer. And then who do you protect for the Kraken draft? You're going to lose a good player. And the players that we were guessing that they would keep or freeze at the beginning of the season has changed a little bit in the course of the season. And namely, guys like Tyson Jost, who was on nobody's radar to freeze, they actually might. And someone like Ryan Graves, who at the beginning of the season, you probably thought there was a really good chance that they would freeze him. And now it doesn't seem like there's any chance that they would. So that's what happens in the course of the season. Things change. And in the offseason, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Avs. They'll have a good team next year, but it's going to look different than it was this year. This definitely was And that's why they didn't do a lot at the trade deadline, because they got a couple pieces, but they didn't make a big splash. But they don't normally do that anyway. But they felt good with the roster they had. Just add a couple pieces to the puzzle, and that should be enough. And it clearly wasn't. So they learned from last year in not having enough goaltending, and now they're going to learn something from this season and the postseason. So it's all learning experiences. When you don't win it, you learn something out of it, which you can take into next season. And hopefully that will be where things happen. But you're always looking forward, and that's something that Avalanche fans are kind of getting annoyed with.
As a person who covers a team that has not even breathed near the playoffs lately, I'm like, I'd be glad to be annoyed with that. You know, it is what it is. But it's going to be, like you said, a very interesting offseason for the Avs, who are a team that I think everyone was just sort of expecting to sort of waltz into the final at the very least. So a lot of thinking, I think, that everyone needs to do to figure out where they go from here. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on what was a disappointing end of the season for the Colorado Avalanche. For people who want to know more about what's going on with the team, who want to find you online, where can they find you and your show?
The show, Twitter, LOPN_Avalanche. And just look for Locked On Avalanche on Instagram. If you want to follow my personal Twitter page, it's on the Locked On Avalanche Twitter page. If you want to do that, but I don't really do much on my own page. And like I always say, I'm not that interesting. The show is more interesting than me. So
we're going to finish out the show coming up next. But first, Built Bar is back. It is here. It is delicious. It tastes like a candy bar, but is also a protein bar and is actually good for you, which sounds a little crazy given how much they taste like legitimate candy. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They come in 9 amazing core flavors, plus there's always some limited edition ones hanging out there that you can go check out. The flavors that are always available include peanut butter brownie, coconut, salted caramel, and more. So there is something for everyone, no matter what your taste is. They are low in sugar, low in calories, high fiber, high protein, and just really all tasty, all healthy. So you can go and do yourself a favor. Check out BuiltBar.com, see the flavors available, and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. While you're at it, go check out BetOnline.ag, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. It doesn't matter what sport you're into, if it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, of course, that's why you're here, fighting, horse racing, soccer. Did we talk about soccer? We're going to say soccer. Any sport you can imagine, you can get all the latest news, odds, and information all about it on BetOnline.ag. So you can go to their website on your laptop, on your mobile device. Check it out. Get news, information on sign-up bonuses, contests, and much more. So this is it. This is the time to get into the game, especially as we, you know, veer closer to the Stanley Cup Final. So head over to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So in the midst of all the playoff action, there are still other things happening in the NHL. And one of those things is a head coach vacancy that has been filled. There's a bunch of them this year. And Columbus just decided to get theirs out of the way early by hiring Brad Larsen, who has previously been an assistant with the Columbus Blue Jackets, is now going to be the head guy. And so to tell us a little bit more about this decision and what is in store for the days after John Tortorella, we've got Jay Forster of Locked On Blue Jackets here to tell us all about their new Brad. So tell us about your new Brad.
Yeah, meet the new Brad, same as the old Brad, et cetera, et cetera. I've been kind of going back and forth over this hiring basically since it happened. Well, no, okay, that's a lie. I've been going back and forth over this ever since they announced that he was going to get an interview. And I kind of like assumed it was going to be a courtesy interview, because if they were going to hire him, then why would they not have like fired Tortorella mid-season and like given him the interim job just to see how he does? But apparently that wasn't the way. They said in the press conference, which is really good actually, I liked a lot of what he was saying, but they talked about it there, and they said basically that he had been their number one guy from the beginning. Like he was their front runner the entire time, and they interviewed Rick Tocchet, David Quinn, and Gerard Gallant, and they all had second interviews. And then there was a couple of other names that were rumored, but they were not confirmed either way. But basically, John Davidson and Yama Kakalainen said that they interviewed a bunch of other guys, and none of them were as good as Brad in the interview. And so now we have, instead of assistant coach Brad and assistant coach Brad, we just have one head coach Brad.
It's a little bit like a Voltron, maybe, of, you know, they all combine together. No.
The superior Brad.
The superior Brad. Is this, I mean, like you said, like you thought it was kind of going to be like a courtesy interview that wasn't necessarily going to go anywhere. So are you happy with this decision? Do you think that the Blue Jackets should have gone in a different direction or some other option not already listed?
Kind of all of the above, really. I have, like I said a little bit earlier, I kind of went back and forth on it over and over. And then I kind of like, I sat down and I thought about it. And number one in Brad Larson's favor is that he's, as far as NHL coaches go, he's pretty fresh blood. He was an assistant coach in Cleveland, then head coach in Cleveland for a season. And then he was given the assistant coach job in, I want to say 2014, under Todd Richards, under John Tortorella. Who kept him on, and then, you know, now he's had a chance to become a head coach. And a lot of people have talked an awful lot of smack about how he's a bad coach because the power play is bad. And okay, yeah, the power play is bad. And I know that Brad Larson's been running the power play for a number of years now, but I also, like, a friend of mine made a couple of comments about it, and then it kind of occurred to me, you know, okay, so he's running the actual systems of the power play, but he doesn't get to say, you know, who is actually on it. You know, Tortorella will make the final personnel decisions. And, you know, it's about how he's basically kind of doing his best with what Tortorella gave him. Like, he didn't say as much, but that was the impression that I got. So overall, I think I'm pretty happy with the hire. He's not one of the same kind of 35 old white men that they keep rotating around the league. He is, in fact, a new oldish white man. I don't even think he's that old. I think he's in his, I want to say, late 40s. He is, you know, a new white man that is not being passed around the league. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't go with the European angle. There was rumors of Jukka Jalonen. There was rumors of Richard Grönberg, who is the coach of Team Sweden. But all in all, I think I don't hate the hiring. And I also wanted to point out that, like, before Tortorella was hired, or just as Tortorella was hired, there was a lot of people being like, this is the worst coaching decision ever made. Why would we do this? And then, you know, he really turned the team around. So I'm willing to withhold kind of any more advanced judgment on Brad Larson until I kind of see how he works. But all indications are that Jarmo Kekäläinen likes him a lot. John Davidson likes him a lot. Apparently the team seems to like him a lot. I know that they consulted the quote leadership group, and I'm not sure who that consists of anymore, really, but they consulted the leadership group about him, about the other ones, and just in every metric, the guy kind of came out on top. So we'll see. I am willing to put an amount of faith in Kekäläinen and Davidson's decision. And the other thing as well is, if we suck next year, then we haven't gone out and spent a bunch of money on an expensive coach. You know, we haven't gone out and paid, you know, Barry Trotz money or whatever Joel Quenneville was making in Chicago or anything like that. You know, we've gone out, hiring from within, it's pretty cheap. I don't know if they've disclosed how much he's actually making, but worst case scenario, we're terrible next year and we haven't spent a lot of money on a coach that can't do anything with a depleted roster, because our roster is not going to be very strong next season. So it feels very much like a hedging your bets hire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm kind of reminded of, and it ended poorly, so hopefully this isn't the case for you guys, but when the Kings hired John Stephens, and, you know, he was they picked someone from within, and, you know, it ended up not being you know, obviously he was relieved of duties, but it wasn't a huge deal because, you know, they didn't go out and get someone really crazy. They sort of were like, well, let's ease our way into this. And then here we are now several years later. But yeah, sometimes the guy from the inside sometimes has the inside track anyway. And
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, he knows all the players. Like, he's been in the organization longer than any of the players on the roster. He's been with the organization since 2010. And I believe the longest tenured Blue Jacket right now after, since Savard's departure, is Cam Atkinson, who's been with the Blue Jackets since, I want to say 2012 was when he was with the Blue Jackets full time. Larson will have known him in Cleveland. So he's basically every player that's on the roster right now, he knows. Obviously, there'll be some new faces and stuff. But yeah, we didn't go out and pay a silly amount of money for Mike Babcock, for example. You know?
So, yeah, yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah, all things
I think considered. My verdict is mostly could have been worse.
Yeah, which in hockey, I feel like sometimes could have been worse is
a victory, yeah.
As good as it gets, yeah. So congratulations on your new coach. It seems like he is the polar opposite of John Tortorella, so that'll be new and different, and we'll have to make people come up with different stories to tell about the Blue Jackets now that they don't
they will feed on the Seth Jones thing until that gets moved, and then they will find something. Yeah, they will find something else to make.
There's always
the Blue Jackets for.
There's always something. Well, thank you for breaking down your new coaching hire, and good luck getting all that figured out, because it seems like there's some stuff that needs to get figured out there.
Yeah, I am crossing my fingers and my toes, and then I am out of crossable things. So
gonna have to hope it works. Well, thank you for joining us. For people who want to learn more about the new Brad, where can they find you and your show online?
So you can find me on Twitter at JTheGoalie. I've talked a little bit about new Brad, old Brad, Brad with a new job there. The podcast you can find wherever you get your podcast. We are on Spotify, we are on Apple, we are on Stitcher, we are on Odyssey. We are on Audible, which is a weird discovery that I made last week. And you can also find us on Twitter at LO_BlueJacket. There will be much more Brad discussion in the coming days, I am sure.
That is it for today's show. Thank you so much to all of my guests for joining me. Make sure you're following them on social media, that you're following their podcasts, and, you know, you can go experience the thrill of success through the Lightning, or the thrill of failure through the Avalanche, or the thrill of, well, who knows what happens next through the Columbus Blue Jackets. That is it for me today. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Give us a follow, say hello, make sure you never miss another episode of this show. Tell your friends all about it. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. And of course, come back tomorrow and every day this week for more hockey news on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.